Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. Pleased to get an audience with the executive director, or the chief executive officer, I should say, of the National Federation of State High School Associations, commonly referred to as NFHS. That's Dr. Carissa Niehoff. All right, the headline, Behavior in Sports Summit, Understanding Your Influence. This takes place August 14th through the 16th in Indianapolis. Summit will bring together high school leaders for two full days of speakers and panel discussions to offer solutions to behavior issues at high school sporting events. So we need a summit because we're concerned about behavior issues. Are we making progress? We have to have this summit. So apparently there's still some problems out there, right?
Oh, hey, Jim. First, just hello to the audience. Thank you for allowing me to be your guest and for telling a little bit of the story. Absolutely, we need this summit. And absolutely, there are still problems out there. I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of attention paid to the more negative, even horrific kinds of behavioral issues in sport. We sometimes lose the simulcast, which would be the positive displays of great behavior. So our summit is, of course, to come together to address behavior issues in sport. It's also to strategize around how we can work better together on promoting the good examples of behavior, and to really form some new relationships across organizations. You know, Jim, I think sometimes in the institution of sport, there's a lot of fragmentation. And along with that sometimes is sort of a territorialism about who's the leading voice or influence in the institution of sport. And we break down there. So an issue like behavior is a problem at all levels. It's a problem that's resulting in the loss of officials. It's resulting in the dropout rate of kids who participate at their youth programs. And it's a bad experience when people can get emotionally, mentally hurt, or even physically hurt for that matter. So we need this summit.
Well, and I look at one of the other, and you can go to the National Federation of State High School Association website and look at some of this information, but I'm going to quote a sentence that was in the press release that, again, highlights this Behavior in Sports Summit, Understanding Your Influence. The summit is a continuation of the two official consortiums the NFHS held the past 2 years, where officials groups addressed behavior issues that have caused officials to leave the avocation and keep others from joining. That's really where we're at here, because we're trying to reverse a trend in terms of the declining official base, and it's really been tough kind of reversing that trend, and we need to try to come up with solutions to cure this problem.
You are exactly right. That's where this third summit was born. It really was starting with a focus on the officiating profession and avocation. I like how you chose that word. And we heard while we were in flight during that first consortium, we need another one. And so on the second one, about a year later, we invited a broader realm of guests. And we had some super representatives from the media, and they gave us some ideas about doing the third, where we get together, we bring in media, we bring in athletic administrators, we bring in parents and kids. We bring in officials and coaches and organizational leaders from, for example, Positive Coaching Alliance, AAU, anybody that might call themselves a shareholder in this world of scholastic sport. And we have a wonderful keynote speaker, Anne Marie Anderson, who has over 30 years as a national and international voice in the media for the highest level of sport. She's going to be bringing some themes in around why education-based experiences matter. And she's the one that connected, she's going to connect her message with how we each need to better understand the influence that we have. So we'll have some panels, some breakout discussions, and we're going to close the summit with some brainstorming and whiteboarding. What can we do collectively to take this really great momentum in these conversations and put them into action right away? You mentioned the officiating shortage. Well, it's of dire it's a dire situation at this point. After the pandemic, we were down 50,000 high school officials nationwide. There is a slow trend back, but we're looking at demographics that are not favoring rapid growth. The average age of a high school sport official is the low to mid 50s, depending on the sport. We have some of our younger officials that enter the profession and, you know, don't feel supported, quite frankly. And it could be not just fans, but sometimes our own schools. So we really have to keep these folks in the avocation. And it's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us. And, we're excited to be, pulling people together, for honest conversations and good brainstorming.
Well, and I'll say this from covering interscholastic athletics in Illinois with the IHSA that falls under the umbrella of NFHS. I feel generally pretty good about high school events that I attend because there's oversight, and I hate to say it, security, you know, at some of these events that you have to resort to police bad behavior in the stands. You have to have it there. Now, I think the pieces are in place to handle that, again, at the IHSA interscholastic level. And even the junior high level that falls under the umbrella of the Illinois Elementary School Association in Illinois. But, you know, you get to some of these youth levels, and I'm like, the oversight's not here. You're not protecting these officials. Their first experience, this is a 19-year-old kid, stinks. He ain't going to do it. She ain't going to do it because it stinks. You're not providing the proper oversight for this youngster or this young adult or somebody just new to the profession to say, well, you think we're going to keep them? Well, no, because you don't have the resources available to help them, protect them. So the experience, like I said, stinks. So I think to me, what I see, and I've talked to this ad nauseum with a lot of officials in my specific area in the western portion of Illinois, these youth leagues have to make a concerted effort that it's just not about the youth players. It has to be grounds for growing the officiating base. You have to do a good job doing that. And that's why I implore these, coordinators of youth leagues, if you're listening, it's on you people to make sure that we have the right pieces in place to make sure it's a good experience. So you can grow the profession. I know it was like a long-winded thing. Sorry, Dr. Niehoff, but that's where I really see one of the big issues in all of this is at the youth level where fans are just completely out of control. Not all of them, but, you know, it just creates an initial terrible first experience for that official that's just starting out.
Yes, absolutely. You are spot on again. The youth environment really doesn't have the infrastructure for the oversight, the infrastructure for the education of coaches, sometimes whom are volunteers, their parents, or others, and they certainly don't have the mentoring support on site for the newer officials. And you're right. That's where we cut our teeth, and as officials. And if that experience isn't good, it's not going to be the money that turns them away. Or the fact that it's hot, or they do 8 youth games in a day. It's going to be the experience itself. And when you're running up and down a recreational sideline and you've got lawn chairs that are 3 feet from your running path with vocal people sitting in them, it's not a good experience. So we've got to address all of these issues. And again, as you said, it's not everyone and everywhere. And scholastic sports do have a better environment overall. But what starts at the youth level migrates and grows up into the scholastic levels. And we want to get it at, you know, its earliest stage and make sure that we have collective commitment across organizations to do better. So that the officials are retained. They have a mentor system in place. Obviously, we'd love to be able to pay them more. We'll work on that. But they really, all the surveys indicate the number one reason they choose to leave officiating is the parent and fan behavior. It's not money. So we all have to really be mindful. A lot of these folks either are new and they're on the youth league on a weekend, or they're leaving their job, their main profession, and it's taking 6 hours to get in a car and drive, get there in advance, walk a field, meet with the team, do the contest, close up the contest, with their colleagues, and then get home for $100, if that. We just need to do a better job educating the public about the whole ecosystem and getting everybody's collective commitment that we can do better.
I love your description of the lawn chair 3 feet away from the court. I'm like, well, you've been at some of the places I've been at here in Western Illinois. Yes, yeah, so
absolutely.
I know.
Absolutely. You know, I pass by a local high school here in Indiana where I live, and it's not unusual to see tailgating at youth lacrosse. And these little ones are 5, 6 years old. We've got tents and grills set up, and like,
well,
that's
wonderful. Yeah, well, and that's wonderful that people want to be involved, and I get that. That's important. I'm not speaking out against that, but the issue becomes, again, to the extent of that engagement or that involvement, if it's, hey, I'm there supporting my youngster or my grandson or my granddaughter, that's one thing. But then if you're going to give the official a rough time, that's completely another thing. And far too often we're seeing basically, you know, the example of giving the official the hard time, and that has an impact on the future of the profession. Now, the other thing, again, great to get an audience here with Dr. Carissa Niehoff, Chief Executive Officer of the National Federation of State High School Associations. Another aspect of this in this summit that's coming up in August in Indianapolis involves social media, and there's so much noise on there, on the social media platforms. I don't know how you ever bring that under control, but I guess long story short, and maybe, you know, that I'm one of the reasons that are an example of looking at positive reinforcement as it relates to officiating. Because sometimes you forget to, maybe in a post-game interview, when there isn't an issue with the call at the end of a game, where you know if there is an issue at the end of a game, that's going to be spoken about. But if there's no issue, you never say something to a coach where, what do you think the officiating, a well-officiated game tonight? The only time that you get reaction basically to officiating is if there's some kind of, I don't know, controversial call or whatever, however you want to frame it. And I need to do a better job, I guess, in this profession. We all do, to bring up the fact that, hey, officiating, great job today by the people that were involved in that endeavor. We need to do a better job of that, apparently.
Yeah, you know, I think there are some media outlets that absolutely do need to do a better job there. And I'm not going to say it's you at all, Jim. I mean, just the fact that you're entertaining this conversation is, I'd say, kudos to you. This is the kind of work we need to be doing in our respective areas. But I've actually interacted with some media outlets, and they've highlighted what they purport to be a bad call when, in fact, the official made the exact right call. And they've been reminded of that, and they've said, well, we just don't care. We're just going to, because it gets attention. So we respect that, you know, the media profession, you're out there to get ears and eyes and traction. And again, this is not you, yourself there, Jim. It's an issue. And, you know, there's energy around, sport, the winner and the loser and the good and the bad. I think it's important that when we educate people about, let's say, the officiating profession, we tell them we've got study after study that shows officials at the scholastic level make the right call almost 90% of the time. And in a profession that's really, really difficult to begin with, because it's got to be an immediate decision, that's a pretty good score. So they do a really good job out there. And And they're human. So there's some stories that we can start to share that are more evidence-based about the profession. Really hopefully going to be helpful to the people that end up being fans in the stands.
So one of the things we do here at this station, we bring officials on the airwaves all the time to put a face and a voice to the profession. I love doing that because I promote the occupation, and we get into the issues of what do, you know, normally what does the general fan always get wrong? And they always give us an example. Hey, this isn't a call, so stop saying this at the seventh grade junior high girls game. You know, whatever.
Right.
You know what I'm.
My favorite is over the back.
Yeah.
There is no such rule.
Yeah.
It's over the back.
And that's exactly what it was funny because one of the officials that just became a superintendent of one of our area school districts, he officiates. That's his nighttime job when he's not being a superintendent at a local school district. And I ask him what drives him nuts the most as it relates. And he's like at junior high girls games or boys games when they say over the back. And he's like, there is no such thing as,
yes.
as over the back. But I'll give you, here's another thing I really like recently in our listening area, longtime umpire, softball umpire. And I like to see more examples like this where this umpire has been doing it, I think, for 30 years, goes out and has a youth umpire clinic at the local school. So the local school is involved, and he sets the youngsters up in the right position to say, hey, this is how you need to officiate. You know, this is the technique. This is how you need to go about kind of the profession. So solid footing at basically kind of a, you know, junior high level, if the kids want to umpire rec league summer or, you know, rec league baseball or softball, they have the, you know, some of the proper tools initially. And I think examples like that are pretty important too, where you have that type of resource out there. And then the local school, because I really think too, Dr. Niehoff, that it takes the member schools now, and I've talked about this within the IHSA, You know,